Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching Season 7, Episode 7, also known as the finale, called The Dragon and the Wolf. What'd you think?
I thought it was great. I thought it did exactly what it needed to do to get people pumped for next season, if I'm representative of people.
Okay. I mean, you are one of people.
I know, certainly. Right? What do you? Well, so let's get a bigger sample size.
Sample size
of two here.
We have people in this room. I'm with you, man. It was awesome. I have very, very small gripes compared to like the stuff we've done in the past, but this one, like, I felt like every time they went for something, it worked.
Yeah, yeah. And what really made it work for me, there's a couple, because there was one scene, this is 90 minutes, I didn't take notes. There's this one scene I remember thinking, this is real dumb. But it was, and I can't remember what it was.
Was it with Tyrion going, you're pregnant?
No,
I don't think
that. Because here's the thing: the reason this worked for me is I don't know if you've had the misfortune of like dealing with a sociopath, like in a position of power that has things they can take away from you, like if they're your boss or a lover or a relative or someone someone that you just can't be like whatever, dude, and walk away from. Like you need something from them, and how fucking insane they are. Mm-hmm. Like that, they really sold me with that with Cersei. That she's just a fucking piece of work, man.
She is.
And I kind of feel like that maybe Jon and Dany and even Tyrion thought that maybe there was enough of Tywin to like pragmatism. But I don't I don't know like what Tywin would do. I kind of feel like that Tywin would do something similar. Like, yeah, let those fuckers fight it over and we've got better odds with this fight than we do, you know, because her calculus is just power. Uh-huh. Like, if she is not in power, nothing else matters.
Yeah.
It's like, it fucking stressed me out seeing what these characters deal with, this narcissistic psychopath. And that felt very fucking real. Like I said, if you don't get that because you've never experienced it, then thank your good fortune. But, man, it really felt real for the first time in a long time. The Cersei's just a nut job.
Yeah, and it's exactly as we expected, right? I mean, everybody said what a dumb plan this was because it's hard to get the white and all that crap, and who knows if it'll work, but
you just
can't convince Cersei. And now they've got the problem of thinking they have accomplished their mission, which is unfortunate for them because they most certainly haven't. And it went down exactly like I expected it to, which I think is one of the most rewarding things when watching a television show, is to truly understand the characters and what they would do in these situations and then to see it play out that way.
Yeah, and I felt like – so, and I don't know if I continue to be the biggest Rube in the world, but I actually thought for a minute Jaime might die there.
Yeah, I did too.
But then ultimately I feel like what actually would have happened, like you said, like knowing what I know about these characters – the middle path was Jaime just to like renounce his family and ride north alone.
The scary thing for me in that scene is that Cersei kind of had what she wanted in a child, right?
Yeah.
She now has a continuation of her line.
Right.
She has the child that she cares about so deeply. Does she need Jaime? Like that was the question that was going through my head.
And that's the other thing I thought worked really well is that I bought both sides of the story. I bought the serpent. Like, I thought, like, well, shit. Maybe this is the first time you see this ferocious, terrifying zombie.
Uh-huh.
And, like, she's gripping her stomach. I'm like, okay. Well, this, in retrospect, makes the pregnancy thing make a lot of sense. Because what is Cersei's? You know, she's got good cheekbones and she loves her children.
Mm-hmm.
This might get through her thick fucking skull. So, like, it worked. And then, like, I bought the double flip.
Yeah.
Like, oh, of course. Of course that's what she would do.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like, you know, we've been talking about D-plus plot with, like, B-minus execution.
Mm-hmm.
At the minimum, they got A-minus in this episode of my book.
Yeah.
Like, I loved all the conversations. I fucking
the reunion stuff was amazing.
I mean, I liked all the dialogue between Dany and John. Like, I thought, felt like, you know, it's like, you know, personal, professional relationships are dangerous because they go bad. There's huge stakes. So it's like they didn't jump right in bed and they, like, you know, did the kind of coy thing I felt like there was enough there, but then when they finally jumped in bed, it's like, okay, now.
And they're overlaying some what could be bad news for this whole situation over the top of it, right?
Yeah.
That John is the rightful heir. How will Danny react to that? Like, does he know he's banging his aunt? Like, how will he be with that?
Now, and that's the thing. Like, they're overlaying the whole thing, like, with... I don't know if they are aware of how creepy that is, where...
I think they are, yeah. I watched it after the
Okay,
the
okay.
Thing,
and, I didn't, because said, yeah. I had such a hard time getting HBO Go to work.
Oh.
Like, for 10, 15 minutes, it was just crapping out and freezing up every 5 seconds, and I was...
Weird.
Yeah, but it finally did, so I came right here. I didn't have time to get into the after stuff, but I thought that was kind of a funny thing, and, you know, it's like, hey, you've been rooting for this. This, we're going to spell out, we're going to get the family fucking tree out. Now,
yeah.
The thing that I don't understand is they dropped the name Aegon Targaryen.
Right.
Which, Yeah, Rhaegar already had a son called Aegon who got his brains beat in. So that was super confusing, and that might be just the double D's signal to book readers that, hey, like, we're just simplifying shit, all right? we're going to, like, you know, don't think too hard about the annulment and the fact that that really boned over Elia and therefore all of Dorne. And that would have been, like, the insult of, like, you know, think of, like, how Lord Walder Frey reacted when... someone broke off a betrothal.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't even the fucking Lord Paramount. He was just a vassal lord to the fucking Tullys. So you're going to insult one of the great houses, the fucking the Principality of Dorne that's unbent, unbound, unbroken? Don't think any about that shit. Just Jon's Aegon Targaryen, and he's fucking his aunt.
Yeah.
It's kind of hot.
No, I don't know. I'm curious to see how this will all play out in a year and a half. But
right.
I don't know. This episode did everything it needed to do, I thought.
And, like,
it appropriately set the stage for the final season.
And yes, finally, like, we didn't. I was wondering if either Cersei or the Night King would die.
Uh-huh.
But I felt like the way they handled this with the Army of the Dead marching and then the Night King obliterating the wall with his newfound dragon.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much literal sense that makes, but thematically, the fact that he's got his magic ice dragon that's now going to destroy the magic ice wall, sure. Sure.
Yeah, I don't know what that dragon shoots, but it clearly is powerful enough to take down the wall.
I do wonder, like, what's your reaction for Littlefinger getting got?
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, the way that they turned that around, like, I thought, oh my God, Sansa, you are the dumbest person alive falling into this. Again, and it turns out I was the dumbest person alive.
I didn't buy it. The whole time I'm like, nope, no fucking way, no fucking way. Yeah. And when she finally,
I thought it was too transparent, but I should have seen it.
And then when, like, I felt like the way Aiden played the whole thing where he, like, just, like he
was shit himself.
He was getting his smug on and then, like, whoa, wait, where's the next rung? I'm out of rungs. Oh, shit. He's kind of, like, doing that Wile E. Coyote thing where he's running on air.
Right.
And just there was black comedy and, like, his going to Jon Royce and being like, I'm the Lord... Lord Protector of the, I demand, and he's like, no,
not happening.
And then him falling on his knees, like I thought that shit was good. The only thing, because you know all this season, I'm wondering when is Sansa going to drop the lone wolf, thing, because that could be the brilliance of that piece of the marketing was as you got further in the season, it could mean so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of was like, as he was bleeding out there and her and Bran and Arya were all together, I thought that she would, like, spit it at him as some kind of final curse. But the way it came out, the fact that they mirrored, like, Jon and Sansa on the parapets of Winterfell. And
yeah.
I liked that.
It was super fitting the way that Littlefinger went out, too. I mean, he's cut across the throat with the very knife that he put to Ned's throat. She's taking his voice from him, which is the weapon only weapon. Like, it's so satisfying on so many levels. I was just like, yes.
It felt like Saruman getting thrown from the tower.
I suppose so. Sure.
Come on, you've seen that movie.
I've seen the movie. But
don't big time me on Lord of the Rings. You
watched
them all.
I don't remember any of it.
I thought, like, Dany arriving was. I mean, we got a taste of it when she greeted Jon, but she turned it up to 11. She had the Unsullied come up there, and then the Dothraki running screaming through the ranks, and the Unsullied is sitting there like, yeah, fucking every day. And then the dragons coming in, and pretty good stuff.
Yeah, no, it was clearly a display of power. Cersei's totally right about that. But I feel like Cersei's right about a lot. Yeah. The problem is she's also an asshole.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm worried, actually, that Cersei might have the proper military strategy here.
It doesn't seem stupid.
No, it doesn't. It does not.
I mean, the thing is, the only thing is, like, it only makes sense if you buy into, like, her particular life and her being in power is the most important thing.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in those, then she's, you know, obviously being a shit and she's betraying the realm.
I think somewhere along the way,
but I think she believes it, and it made all those actions believable. Mm-hmm. I like those little details, like Qyburn, like getting a giant boner when he sees the zombie right. for the first time.
It was amazing. He's like back there, he picks up that hand.
Yeah, like it. Yeah, it's so good. I'm trying to think of what did you. Tyrion Cersei was peak, like, me having PTSD about dealing with a fucking psychopath that I needed something from.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that scene was really good, like, especially when... It's so funny, too, the two Lannister brothers both dared Cersei to kill him, and she couldn't do it at either one.
Yeah, she's really pretty impotent when it comes to the mountain and killing people.
Yeah.
I've only seen him ever kill one person, I think, and it was the Sparrow.
That's why I thought Jaime might die.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're going to do this twice, huh? But I
guess
think
so.
I think it worked.
Eventually, they have to go through with it, right? We have to see the Hound. Like, they ruined our Clegane Bowl here.
Well,
like, they got up in our face and they talked about it.
Wait, you can't... You got to...
Clegane Bowl. Clegane Bowl. Clegane Bowl.
Exactly. A little louder. There we go. We got the full effect.
Yeah.
You ruined my Clegane Bowl joke. I've been saving that for the end. And you fucking jumped the goddamn Clegane Bowl gun. Anyway,
louder every time.
Him standing there and saying, "You know who's gonna come and get you. You've always known to his fucking monster dead brother." Like, oh shit.
Yeah,
I don't know when they're ever gonna fight. But that was pretty good.
It was so good to see Pod back with Tyrion and Brienne back with Jaime and the Hound back with Brienne and Bronn back with Tyrion and Bronn with Pod. Like,
and Brienne putting Jaime back
reunions.
It was so good. Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's going to be a long podcast this week, people.
I bet.
Breaking down these 90-minute things of stuff that's like pure joy to see.
Uh-huh.
I think that as long as season 6 is very even in quality, that we'll see the last two episodes as being kind of like the bumps on the road to get to where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, I kind of feel like the gauntlet's been thrown back in George's feet, like, okay, fucker, do better.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was rough driving over your fucking map. Like, you made a fucking Mario Maker map that was unbeatable, and we had to do a couple cheats. Now, I want to see you beat it now, fucker.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, so the Euron stuff was interesting.
Yeah, I did fall for that.
I definitely fell for that. Because
I'm like, huh, they're going to keep Euron around to fight for another day, or is he going to try, is he going to be, because...
It seems totally within his character to just fuck off, you know?
Yeah. It's going to be fun, because I think Kim Renfro is going to come back on for either this week's spoiler podcast or the review, the wrap-up one. Because I remember off the air, because I know that she had read all the spoilers.
Hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I don't want to know anything, Kim. But is there going to be enough gas as far as like theorizing and stuff from the what's to come that we think it would make sense to have you back on? And she goes, yes. And yeah, there's it's going to be fun to kind of evaluate some of these like kind of longstanding theories to see like kind of what's left. Did they bring the actor that played Viserys back to play Rhaegar? I felt
it
like
looked
that,
like it. A lot like it.
I didn't like, because I still have memories of him being a fucking douchebag.
Yeah, no. He looked so much like him, if it's not him, that it was distracting for me as well.
Yeah, it is like, I was not buying the Lyanna, Rhaegar, either one of them. I never thought Lyanna looked particularly like my mind's eye would picture her either, but...
Hmm. Okay.
It's just like kind of like Danny and John, I think they're great.
Yeah.
Like they fucking look like people you would ship. If this show was about that Lyanna and that Rhaegar, there would not be people on a message board saying, "Oh boy, can't wait for them to fuck." They're just like, they're Westeros fives, man. What's going on?
Yep.
What's going on?
There's so much stuff happened this episode. I mean,
you can't get it all.
the Theon stuff, which thought was awesome.
That's the fucking thing. Okay, you thought it was awesome. Good. Yeah. Because that's the scene that I thought was a little bit horseshit.
The kicks to the dick.
Theon's magic power is that he doesn't have balls to kick.
Yeah, man.
What, they're like a fucking adrenaline switch for him to get?
Well within his character.
I mean, like, he's essentially Bobby Hill. Have you seen where
I think I remember
this episode of Bobby Hill where his dad drops him off like the YMCA to take a boxing class. He's getting bullied, and he accidentally gets sent up for like a woman's anti-mugging class where they teach him to kick the assailant in the balls and scream, "I don't know you, let go of my purse," and he slays all the bullies at the school doing that. Like, I don't know about that plot line, Jim.
I don't know.
That might be the A-minus execution or an F plot. I don't know.
I don't know. I liked it, and I thought... I mean, I like it from the standpoint of Theon finally standing up for him, his damn self. But, and not even himself, it's for his sister.
But here's the thing. They've always portrayed Theon as a pretty... I think they made a mistake of playing Theon as an incompetent warrior. Because he was raised by the same man of arms as all those Stark boys, and all those Stark boys that are not, like, don't have the use of their legs, kick ass. And we saw Theon is very competent in the first season. He's a good shot at the arrow. He was decent with the sword. Like, I was thinking, like, that they might remember that, and he would just kick the dude's ass. Like, it would be a tough fight, but he would do well because he's a Stark, damn it. John himself said as much.
Well, they remembered that he doesn't have balls anymore. I imagine getting kicked to any kind of injury that severe would probably be devastating.
I would think so.
Well.
Plus, yeah. I've heard from women saying that getting kicked in the pubic mound does not feel good.
I can't imagine it would.
No, I wouldn't think so.
And then
kicked in the clit. If you've been kicked in the clit and it was a positive experience, write us at GameOfThrones@baldmove.com.
We kind of talked.
Theon doesn't have the clit, but.
No,
he just has a giant scar and
scar tissue.
Some kind of grisly urethra assembly. Can't feel good to be kicked.
Probably not. Maybe they did like Jamie's hand and they put a gilded cock and balls down there. Yeah.
Sure.
Guy broke his knee on it. let's
discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Live.
Hear the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Our coverage of Hot D, Fire and Blood, and the 1980s Shogun miniseries continues. But then on Tuesday, for the first time in 35 years, we asked a question. Who framed Roger Rabbit? Hop aboard the train to Toontown as we revisit this incredible blending of live action and animation to see if it still holds up all this time later.
Then on Wednesday, we get our first look at Blake Crouch's mind-bending sci-fi series, Dark Matter. The first two episodes drop simultaneously on Apple TV+, and we'll have a pair of podcasts quantumly linked ready for you to observe.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
We kind of talked about the wall. I mean, that's the biggest, you know, obviously biggest development of the whole season, of the whole show at this point.
Yeah.
The wall comes down. It's fucked up. Because now, do you think the dragon's going to stay with the army of the Marching Dead?
I
assume so, but...
Because here's the thing. That dragon is... I think we know that it's fragile. Like, this is like... What's been revealed in the last week is that these dragons are glass cannons.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that they're invincible kind of dreadnoughts, but they're not. They are very fragile for both sides. Now, I guess it's an open question whether the Night King even needs his dragon at this point.
Yeah.
Because he's got his unbeatable army of the dead that I don't know what you do, because this is a game of chicken. You've both got weapons that can... I mean, Is this what a world war would look like with nukes, where like you've got both sides that have them, but no one's crazy enough to use it? Because if you do that, it's all over.
I mean, I definitely still feel like Dani has the advantage over him.
How?
Because she has two dragons.
Okay,
so she just flanking does a maneuvers, suicide. All kind of things. Yeah. Like two fighters in the air probably have good chance of beating one.
But surely it's not just the Night King that can throw it. But I guess that's an open question. Maybe just the Night King can throw a goddamn spear.
I don't know.
And kill a dragon.
I don't know.
The other guys are just reloaders.
Yeah, they just carry the weapons.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, like, once he loses that dragon, if he loses that dragon,
yeah,
there's not a lot that the army of the dead can do against the humans. I feel like that's kind of his trump card,
right? But if the dragons are dead, all of the dragons, then I don't know how the humans defeat. Yeah. I mean, it seems like it would be a grisly battle, but maybe if you have enough obsidian. But how would they arm everyone with that much obsidian? They don't have time.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know either.
I guess we'll see in a year and a half,
and it'll be interesting to see, because Jaime was the last good advisor she had.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just imagining this, like, fucking Phantom of the Opera-style Cersei, who's just in her darkened throne room, like, caressing her swollen belly and just being fucking paranoid and evil, and what that's going to be like when they come back for her.
Speaking of which, that scene where Jaime rides away and it starts snowing,
that
was a... beautiful,
sure
haunting
was.
Scene.
It sure was.
Because you know what that snow means.
Yeah.
And it doesn't snow in King's Landing, as far
as
I understand,
not typically.
Right?
Like super bad winter, sure, but like it seems like it's going to be... And that's the thing, like... It's always been my impression that the problem with the Night King is if you don't stop him, he continues to march and go south, and he brings winter... And it's like always been my understanding that like an unchecked long night would lead to the Planetos, or whatever they call their version of Earth, would just freeze, like just be a frozen snowball.
Yeah.
Including the oceans, including all that stuff. Now, I don't know, because it seems like there's a lot of people asserting like, oh, we can just go to islands and everything be fine. And in researching that thing we did for the podcast pack, it did seem like there was hints in the World of Ice and Fire that Essos did better than Westeros after the Long Night, because their civilizations, the old Gisian or Giskari and Valyrian empires, were going strong at the time, where in Westeros they were still picking up the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I've always been wrong, and like this is just a Westerosi threat, and we're talking about everyone dying there and their other planet. I mean, it'd probably be shittier, but could the Night King get over there? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Might never find out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know what else I want to talk about.
Not much until Tuesday.
I imagine. Here's the thing. I feel like if you had a gun to my head, I'd say the majority of the fandom is probably going to feel how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. I also think there's going to be a lot of people that they got lost along the last episode or two, and this isn't going to be enough for them. And I'm curious to be like kind of percentage wise, like how many fans are going to fall in that? Like, nope, there's no fucking way. This is fruits of the poison tree.
Yeah.
And even if it's cool and spectacle, it still doesn't wipe away all the other bullshit we went through.
Then why are you still watching?
Well,
if nothing's going to wipe away the bullshit, then the rest of it's bullshit and you don't need to see it.
There's such a thing as hate watching. And there's also like, a person tuning in, like even if they checked out, they're like, well, I'm going to at least give it to finale to see because maybe they can. And they went in there some people just not willing to be convinced. And some people, like, I just honestly think the show, they just like were less willing to put up with the bullshit to get to an episode like this. But I'm curious to see what the rest of the fan base thinks.
That's fine. I mean, if a bunch of people check out, Game of Thrones will survive, HBO will survive, and we will get awesome
final
season.
It is a bummer because the thing is I will always go back, and yes, this, maybe we look back in these two episodes as being bumpy, but it does feel like that history will also show that these two episodes are maybe needlessly bumpy. They didn't have to be as bumpy as that. Although I think that, and I'm also curious to see what people thought about the Arya and Sansa, because I thought that, I mean, everybody was bitching and whining about that. This essentially, I think they didn't do the Arya gut wound.
No, they certainly didn't.
Like, because people are saying that last week, right? Yeah. Like, if you think that they're going to make this be cool, then you are just like the people that said, oh, there's something to this Arya gut wound, and it's all, you're going to see, and we all end up like, no, that's just something we had to accept as bullshit. I thought this plot, I believed Arya getting her guts not stabbed out.
Yeah. No, if they had, I feel like they would have been the very thing that they were creating if they had done that again, you know, like Sansa falling for Littlefinger's tricks again. They would have been the double D's doing another gut stab on Arya.
Well,
they didn't do that. They learned
Sansa
their
said,
lesson.
Like, I'm a slow learner, I admit.
Yeah.
Like, that was a great Sansa line.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now the question I guess I have for you that we can maybe discuss in the main podcast is, when did you think that they came up with this plan? Because I don't think it was any time before. Like, I think Arya was legit playing the game of faces with Sansa, and she liked the answers. She liked the whatever vibe she got from her.
Yeah. I think when she goes to Littlefinger, she sends Brienne away after Littlefinger requests it, essentially.
Uh-huh.
I think she's playing the game there.
Right.
She knows what she's doing.
I think both of them are playing the game, but not knowing the other one was true blue. Like, Sansa's like, I'm sending Brienne away. That's essentially my protection from you.
Uh-huh.
And then Arya came in and said, I could kill you right now, but I'm not going to. And then, and I guess this could be frustrating, but I just fully believe that there was a scene in between here that we weren't privy to because, hello, storytelling, that they're just like, hey, we're gonna get this Littlefinger guy and we're going to fuck him.
Yeah.
So, and sure. Bran, it is uncomfortable that essentially this Bran is like a total, like, fucking Boston or Salem witch hunt.
Yeah, I'm deeply uncomfortable convicting people on Bran's advice.
On psychic birdmen.
Yeah.
Okay. And, like, I felt like that Sam showed the proper, like, skepticism. Like, okay. Yeah, crazy boy. Sure.
Yeah.
Did Defiers tell you that? No, it was a raven.
Mm-hmm.
But it works in the universe. The secular Aaron was like, are we really going to convict someone to death on the testimony of a psychic child?
Yeah. Yeah, they totally are. It's a good thing that we know that Bran can actually see into the past. The Littlefinger did actually betray Ned. We know all this stuff
all the
is
individual,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right.
And like, also, it wasn't just his testimony. It was Sansa's
mostly.
Too, but she also, like, it's like politically charged and self-serving and psychic testimony for children, all valid in the North. I mean, it works.
So, yeah.
It works because it's true.
Yeah.
But man, what a horrifying system of justice.
Right.
I would not want to fall. I would not want to fall afoul of that system of justice.
Nope.
All right. So that's it. I think.
It is.
Send us your feedback at GameOfThrones@baldmove.com. Run the feedback gauntlet. There's also forums.baldmove.com if you'd like to discuss stuff. I'm so happy to be done with the trying to protect myself from spoilers and leaks.
I really hope
that season 8 they can nail that down, because it really, I mean, as you guys probably tell, it's not like I had a lack of emails to read, but there was a lot less spoilers and a lot less speculation we could go on to.
This is a finale, man. We're open to all the speculation. We are now, send it all.
Speculation
in.
Is now back on the table, boys.
Oh,
and
man.
And this is the thing I guess when I talk to the main cast is like, what is HBO to do? Because what's happening is not only do you have these production leaks, but people are just piecing stuff together by camping out on these mountain ranges and be like, oh yeah, there's Gendry, so I guess Gendry's coming back. And here's, I mean, like, it's shooting fish in a barrel, and how are they going to do it?
Dragons. They need dragons.
They need patrol dragons. Yeah. I don't know. Good luck, HBO. I hope you do it because it really, it's more fun when we don't know.
Yeah, but we will be back on Tuesday with a full podcast. Real quick before we go, I wanted to tell people about the Pod Pack, which you mentioned earlier.
Oh, I thought we were going to drop that mid-episode, but nope, take it away.
Nope, I'm doing it all right here. This is for club members. This is for everybody. I got together with a group of about 10 of some really good Game of Thrones podcasts over the last few weeks, and I put together something that I'm calling the Game of Thrones Pod Pack.
They're really good podcasters.
They're really good.
It's a really good club, we call them.
You know, I
the RGC. We call up. We have red hotlines.
You weren't supposed to tell people about the RGC, man. Really good casters. No, we all got together. We each produced a special episode, if you will, of all of our podcasts. So there are 10 in total, and right now it's up on Indiegogo. The link for it is igg.me/@GOTpodpack. Got that? Rewind 15 seconds. There's a button on your phone.
Can we make a custom URL for that?
We can next week.
Okay.
For now, if you want to go check it out, it's a charity project. So all 50% of the proceeds go to the ACLU and 30% go to the podcasters who participated other than us. 10% goes to us because we have to do all the hosting of the files and shit. And then 10% goes to the greedy, greedy Amazon and all the people taking the money.
Apparently they have to pay for it too.
That's what they say. I don't know if I buy that. But yeah, it's Game of Thrones Pod Pack. One more time, the link is igg.me/@GOTpodpack.
Do you have a list of topics that were discussed?
I don't have like the list of topics from everyone, but
let's tease ours.
Yeah, ours.
We both went and independently, like Jim cracked open some Game of Thrones books, independently researched topics
Game of Thrones Wiki.
Of interest. Like I did an essay on the Doom of Valyria and Valyrian culture in general.
Yeah.
And you.
It was interesting. I did the Religions of Westeros.
Religions of Westeros.
And discussed kind of four of the big ones and how they pertain to the story. So I don't know. I thought it was super interesting. There are a lot of them doing other fun stuff.
I can't wait to see what the other people came up with because I haven't heard. I haven't heard any of them yet.
Yeah, check it out. I think it's pretty cool, and it's good for everybody, the podcasters and charity.
Mm-hmm. And finally, and real quick, as I want to get this out as quick as we can. You can always support Bald Move by going to the club, theclub.baldmove.com. That keeps the lights on and the bits flowing here at the Bald Move Studio. And it's really the only way we're able to give the depth and breadth of the coverage. The fact that we get three podcasts out a week, as well as all the other stuff we do. And there's a lot of incentives to join the club. There's a lot of special audio and video and social media engagement type features that you can use. And if you like listening to me and Jim, you think we're funny, you think we're insightful, we got a whole bunch more of that at club.baldmove.com. You can check it out and test drive the features. And also, you get a free 30-day trial when you sign up. club.baldmove.com. Thanks for your support.
And that's it. We will be back Tuesday. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you then.
See ya.